Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 8, 2014, or it is Sibian 11, 2018. We will start our first service on this Pentecost with a song that I've written entitled, Lead Me to the Rock That Is Higher Than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than mine, I'll forever be. Indebted to the sun, the very one who came to set men free. For the life in this world I have to live is but a stepping stone. For the greater heights I have to attain is never done alone. Lead me to the rock, oh, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Lead me to the place of the sacred sleep. Lead me to those mountains in the sky. Man on a mission came to this world, sort of on the sly. Born in a manger and scarcely a stranger could be seen passing by. Oh, the moon shone bright, but the heavenly lights of all the stars before. For the brightest one of them all is the one that must have known. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the fountain that never runs dry. Lead me in the path by the river of life. Lead me to those mansions in the sky. For the star pointed to the newborn king as he lay in the manger crib. For he's a descendant of the one who created from the Adam's rib. As time rolled on, many stories are told about the man of the Galilee. How he changed the water into the wine and made the blind to see. Lead me to the rock, oh, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's higher than mine. Lead me to the place of the sacred sleep. Lead me to the mountains in the sky. For this is the man for all times, for whom men come to rely. For the witness of many miracles right before their eyes. For he lived and he died and he rose again with the victory over the grave. With the proven once and for all that he has the power to save. Don't leave me in the desert, barren and dry. Vanquished forever and left to die. Rather lead me to the fountain that never runs dry. Lead me to the rock that is higher than mine. Lead me to the rock that is higher than mine. Lead me to the fountain that never runs dry. Lead me in the path by the river of life. Lead me to those mansions in the sky. Oh yes, lead me to those mansions in the sky. So, our first service on this Pentecost with a prayer thought reading by the Alan DeLong, and he will announce it for you.
Well, we're going to read three different chapters. We're going to start in Isaiah chapter 40. Read about five verses here. Isaiah 40, verse 1. comfort ye, my people, say to Elohim. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Yahweh's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Yeshua. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Yahweh hath spoken it. Verse 9. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid, saying to the cities of Judah, Behold your Elohim. Behold, the Yahweh Elohim will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Okay, now let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Yeshua Messiah, the son of Elohim. So right here we have the beginning of the gospel. Mark 1, 1. Verse 2. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now let's go to Malachi chapter 3. See what that says. Have someone who prepares the way for the coming of Yeshua. 3 verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Yeshua whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith Yahweh of hosts. So, John was the prophet saying, I'm the messenger to prepare the way before thee. And then verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Yeshua, make his path straight. So, John was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 40 verse 3, when he came on the scene and baptized and prepared the way for Yeshua's first coming. Verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with a camel's hair and with a girdle of his skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It came to pass in those days that Yeshua came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. There came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Excuse me. Now after that John was put in prison, Yeshua came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of Elohim, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of Elohim is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Okay, you see now, when Yeshua was baptized, he received the Spirit, like a dove upon him, and the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, where he was tempted, He fasted for 40 days and afterwards was tempted of Satan. And he lived with the wild beasts and the angels ministered unto him. So, back in 1972, Burles Johnson had a vision saying the kingdom 1974. And at the Passover in 1974, he read Luke 22:29. Says, I appoint unto you a kingdom. So in the kingdom of Daniel 2, the image was set up in 1974. When you take 40 days, a day for a year, makes you 40 years, from 1974 to 2014 is 40 years, a day for a year. And so we have the same message that they had back in Yeshua's day, and verse began to preach when he came on the scene. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is our message today. The time is fulfilled. This is the beginning of the gospel of Yeshua, the son of Elohim. and we're to teach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And let's go now to the book of John in chapter 1. See what John the Revelator has to say. In John in chapter 1. We'll start with verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Yeshua Messiah. No man has seen Elohim at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not to confess, "I am not the Messiah." When they asked him, "What then, art thou Elijah?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" So here they're trying to see who is John the Baptist supposed to be in the Antichrist of their day. So they want to know who he was, what prophecy he was fulfilling. And he wouldn't tell them. verse 23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Yeshua, as said the prophet Esaias." So he gave him the answer that he was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 40. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him, and saith unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Messiah, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latch I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Yeshua coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which taketh away the sin of the world. That is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of Elohim. Now let's go another to Matthew chapter 3. See what the book of Matthew says. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Yeshua, make his path straight. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, he hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. But say unto you, that Elohim is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And we know that trees represent leaders. And if these leaders weren't bringing forth good fruit, so they were cut down and were cast into the fire. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then comes Yeshua from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Yeshua answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Yeshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of Elohim descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Matthew 28:18.
Yeah, we'll close our prayer thought with these three scriptures. And this is 40 days after Yeshua had risen from the dead. And Yeshua came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So this power was given to his disciples on the day of Pentecost. It was cloven tongues like as of fire when the Holy Spirit came upon them as a mighty rushing wind. And they were baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Same thing in the Antitype. When we receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and power, we'll also be baptized with the Spirit and with fire, because the Holy Spirit rests upon them as cloven tongues of fire. This is our prayer thought, and we'll now have our prayer.
Pentecost, part one. We're going to start with Acts chapter 2. It says, And when the day of the Pentecost was fully come, they were all with the one accord in the one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of the fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Yahweh Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, verse 5, And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these of which speak Galilean? And how hear we every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born? And the Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of the Rome, Jews and proselytes, priests and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of the Yahweh. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of the new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, as seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Yahweh, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Yahshua come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahshua shall be saved. Okay. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Yahshua of the Nazareth, a man approved of the Elohim among you by the miracles and wonders and signs which Elohim did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of the Elohim, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom Elohim hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Yahshua always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Now, I represent antitypical David. And that is my lot. That's what fell upon me. And so therefore, when I read anything pertaining to David, I have to include myself as being in the same position to be able to fulfill the works that David laid a type down for. And so when he says, David says concerning him, I foresaw the Yahshua always before my face. So this is what we should experience today here in the 12th hour and making up this everlasting kingdom of David here that has come to full circle, and now we are representing the leadership of this kingdom. And so therefore we can lay our claim to this promise that we can see the Yahshua always before our face now. That light has opened up on all this, all those that are members of this kingdom. If we can always behold our Yahshua before our face, he's always at our right hand. He will inspire us. He will speak to us by the Spirit. He'll impress us day by day what we should do next. Okay. Therefore, did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. So, it says now that we are in this antitypical role today of this here everlasting kingdom that Alan prayed about in his prayer about Daniel 2:44-45. That's this everlasting kingdom of heaven that is set up here in the throne of David, and it's the kingly palace ground in Jerusalem where heaven chose as designated as a place for heaven's throne to be. Right there, where the throne of David is set up. Said heaven designated that for heaven. For heaven's throne. When heaven comes to earth, that's their designation. It's the place of David's throne. That's where they're going to set up. As Peter says in Luke 1:32, that Yahweh the Father has given unto his son, Yahshua, the earthly throne of his father David, to sit upon when he comes to reign in these last days. Okay. Because David's going on to say, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So the fact that we're fulfilling this antitypical kingdom of David's fulfillment shows that the promise was made that David's soul would not be left in hell. Because David's going to come forth now, here in this 12th hour. And we're going to meet him as our counterpart. We're going to be his counterpart. And so Yahweh has also retrieved our soul here, because we lived in the 11th hour. A temporal kingdom was set up in the 11th hour at Gilead Center. We as Adventists lived through that time. We graduated through that time period. And we graduated through the 11th and to the 12th hour. So therefore, Yahweh didn't leave our soul in hell when we were with the 11th hour people. But he left those that didn't repent and become baptized with the fire, those that didn't repent in the 11th hour, so that they could graduate into the 12th hour, their soul was left in hell. And it's a sad commentary. But that's just exactly what happens when you're given an opportunity, whenever the opportunity comes. How about those folks back there in John the Baptist's time, when he came preaching repentance for remission of sins in the name of Yahshua, so that you can receive the gift of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And that gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal life. That was being offered to everyone at Jerusalem in that day. That's what John's mission, and that's what my mission is. I have the antitypical Elijah's message. And that's exactly what our commission is right here, in our mission. It is to come preaching repentance and offering this gift of the Holy Spirit to all those that repent. This day right here, Pentecost. All we have to do is pray that prayer of Psalm 19. But David prayed. He said, matter of fact, we can go read that. Let's just go read it for the reference sake and see what David actually prayed. He was very sincere when he prayed that prayer, because he had been delivered from a terrible, terrible sin of adultery and murder. And he had been completely made absolved of that. There you'll find that in Psalms 32. And it says here in Psalms 19, it says, the heavens declare the glory of Elohim, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices of a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. So what is the testimony of the Yahshua? It's the Spirit. It's with the Spirit of prophecy. Okay. And it says, Yahshua come in Revelation 19 with the Spirit of prophecy. Okay. Psalms 19:8. For the statutes of the Yahshua are right. Now he's talking about Yahshua the Son here. And he said, rejoice in the heart. The commandment of the Yahweh is the pure. Talking about the Father and his commandment. Enlightening the eyes. Okay. The statutes of Yahshua are right. Or you say the statutes of Yahweh. They belong, the statutes and the judgments belong both to Yahweh and the Son. Because the Son came out of the loins of his Father. The Son was here to emulate the Father. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're one in purpose. Where it says, the fear of the Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. So it says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his arrows? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. So David says, if I'd understood my arrows, I would have committed those terrible sins that I committed with Bathsheba and her husband. And they said, I wouldn't have caused the lives of 70,000 of my members, soldiers of my army. My sin, my terrible sin, caused the death of 70,000 of my soldiers. Because Yahweh come to punish me for my faults, and he gave me a choice of three punishments, and I chose the one for Yahweh, the one that where he is lenient. And his leniency was destroying 70,000 of my soldiers. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. What's that great transgression? Blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, which is the unpardonable sin. In other words, rejecting present truth and not recognizing what is sent to you to save your soul, and not recognizing it, and saying, no, this is not truth after all. That's the unpardonable sin. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. Okay. Now we go back to Acts chapter 2, and let's see if we can't kind of pick up where we left off. It says, verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Yahweh, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Well, now here we are, we're in Acts 2:17, and here we are, now in the last days, and we're living now in this very time, when we can expect now the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and today is Pentecost, and if this is the antipodal day, then no doubt, we will be here on time, receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, fulfilling this joy too. If not, we will certainly get a double blessing. We've already got the rain as a blessing, as a sign from heaven. He then sent us the rain, and the former and the latter rain falling again in the first month in the Passover. Certainly, materials to drain for the two wave loads that are harvested at Pentecost, which denotes the harvesting of the two houses of Israel, the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes. So here we are, folks, at the right time, at the right place. Okay. And he says he's going to pour out his spirit upon all people that are in the position on the Pentecost. Well, he says, be ye therefore also ready for an hour and a day that ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Always be ready. Now, Paul, he says right there in Acts 20, Paul understood the importance of keeping that Passover, and especially at Jerusalem at all costs, if at all possible, keep it at Jerusalem. So there in Acts 20, verse 16, it says, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of the Pentecost. Okay. Now, it says right there in 1 Corinthians 16:8, it talks about also Paul being dealing with the Pentecost, and he says that but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Okay. So Paul realized the importance of Pentecost, and so therefore we are here, we're getting our blessing for being here at this time. Yahweh has already sent us the rain early this morning to put his seal to the fact that we are going to be blessed with this former and latter rain. And especially falling together in the first month. And so if we don't get the outpouring today, we'll get it at the antitypical Pentecost, when it is to be for real. In other words, it is before the bringing forth the hand of the word of God. So, as we continue to read now in Acts chapter 2, it says, he's going to pour out his spirit upon my servants, nor my handmaidens. I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. For everybody. Everybody is going to get the Spirit poured out on that are there, that are qualified for it. And I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Yahshua come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahshua shall be saved. Okay, so we're going to be in a position now where all we have to do is just call on the name of the Yahshua. And we see all these terrible calamities coming on the earth. And we see all these signs in the heavens and the earth. And he said that these things are going to take place before that great and notable day of the Yahshua come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahshua shall be saved. So we're going to be there in the midst of all this. We're going to be right there with the rest of the people. But those that call on the name of Yahshua is going to be saved out of it. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Yahshua of Nazareth, the man approved of Elohim among you by the miracles and wonders and signs which Elohim did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of the Elohim you have taken, and by the wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom Elohim hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw that Yahshua always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that Elohim has sworn with an oath unto him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Yahshua to sit on his throne, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of the Yahshua, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Yahshua hath Elohim raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of Elohim exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heaven, but he saith unto himself, Yahshua said unto my master, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Okay, let me read that again. For the Yahweh Elohim said unto my master Yahshua, the Messiah, his son, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Now, where is Yahshua at? He's at the right hand of the Father. And what's going to happen? He said, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Okay. So now, who is our foe? Obama is Yahshua's number one foe here on earth. Obama. He's the incarnate of Satan. He's the visible king of Satan. And Satan is the invisible king of the wicked world, of that dark world. And they are right now sitting upon the throne of Babylon, ruling this dark world together. Okay? And it says that Yahshua is going to sit on the right hand of the Father until he makes his enemies his footstool. So whenever the kingdom is given to the saints of the Most High in Daniel 7 to consume and destroy this dark kingdom of Satan, And to the end, it says, then when that happened, that's when enemies of this world had been made the fixture of heaven. Okay. Therefore, in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Elohim hath made that same Yahshua whom ye have crucified both Savior and Messiah. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Yahshua Messiah, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, it says you're to be baptized in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what the way I've been baptized in the past. But Yahshua, you have to be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. Because He's the high priest, and He's also the Lamb. And He's the one that has the blood. And it says, by the blood, where there's no shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So where there's no shedding of blood of the Yahshua for you today, there's no remission of the sin. That's what we're all here concerned about today, is getting remission of our sins. You have to have the shedding of the blood of Yahshua in order to get it. So it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Yahshua Messiah for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Yahweh Spirit. That's in Acts 2:38. For the promise is unto you, and unto your children, and unto all that are afar off. What's the promise to? It's to the disciples, it was to their children, it was to the people at that time. Paul telling here in Acts, he's telling these people, repent. He said, this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Yahweh or Elohim shall call. Okay, so and as many as He will call to the kingdom, wherever they're at, afar off. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So this them is a pronoun for all of those that had repented and were baptized, with all the disciples there, and the 120 that were present. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them unto all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising Elohim and having favor with all the people. And the Yahshua added unto the congregation of Israel daily such as should be saved. Now, what are we learning? Well, we're learning that you have to be baptized in the name of Yahshua for remission of sin. So now, you have to repent, be baptized. And now we go to Hebrews 9. We go to Hebrews 9:22. We'll read about that being baptized. The sprinkling of blood for the remission of sins. Okay. So now, Paul understood this all too well, and he taught this to all of his Gentiles all over the place, and to the Israelites. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." Well, in Paul's day, he was talking about the shedding of the blood of Yahshua. That's the only shedding of blood that counted then in the New Testament. Okay. Now, it talks about there in Peter, 1 Peter, I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of Elohim, the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of the Yahshua Messiah, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." Okay. And now he says that the peace will be multiplied unto you because you have been elected according to the foreknowledge of Elohim, the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua Messiah. So you have to have the sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua to have sanctification through the Spirit. It takes the sprinkling of His blood to sanctify you. There's no other way you can be sanctified. Okay, so now we can go to, let's see. Now let's go to Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Elohim forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Yahshua's Messiah were baptized into his death? And we're talking about the baptism. And how are you baptized with the fire? You have to be baptized into the death of Yahshua. Therefore, we are buried with him by the baptism into the death, or into his death, that like as Yahshua was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Okay. So now how was Yahshua raised up by the glory of the Father? How was he raised up? In Hebrews 13:20 it says, "Now the Elohim of peace that brought again from the dead our Savior Yahshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." So now, how did Yahweh the Father raise up his son? Okay. He said, verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into the death, that like as Yahshua was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life." So we're going to be raised up by the glory of the Father, and we're baptized by the Spirit of the Father in the name of the Yahshua. Okay. And what is it that raises and raises up? It's his blood again. Hebrews 13:20 says now the Elohim of peace that brought again from the dead our Savior Yahshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood. And they're right here. So, you're sanctified by the blood. Without the sprinkling of blood, there's no remission of sin. And that's what this whole thing is all about. Obtain the eternal life, and you can only come through this narrow way. It's a narrow way. And you have to understand this. That understanding aright how to assimilate and appropriate this blood to oneself. And that's reading why it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that you don't take of this unworthily the emblems of Yahshua's body and the emblems and the wine that represents his blood. You don't take of that unworthily. You understand exactly what that means and why it is applied that way. So it says in Romans chapter 6, it says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him and the body of sin, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Yahshua, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that the Yahshua being raised from the dead dieth no more. Okay. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto Elohim. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Elohim through Yahshua and the Messiah our Savior. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Now here it is. Let not sin reign in your mortal body while you're here in this here carnal flesh, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Okay. And now that ye are members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Elohim as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteous unto Elohim. For sin shall not have dominion over you, therefore you are not under the law, but under grace. So sin is not going to have dominion over you. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Elohim forbid. Know ye not that unto whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, his service ye are, unto whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Okay, but Elohim be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of the doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things wherein you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to Elohim, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of the Elohim is eternal life. Okay. Through Yahshua Messiah Savior. So the greatest gift that Yahweh gave to the world was his Son. And he shows you how you can have eternal life through him. Said the gift of the Father, okay, is eternal life through Yahshua Messiah our Savior. So Yahweh's gift is eternal life, but what is it through? It's through his Son. Okay, that's a pretty good admonition. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 3, and let's pick up that theme about the restitution of all things, and we'll start with verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of the prayer, and being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Yahshua Messiah of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked, and entering with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Yahweh. And all the people saw him walking and praising Elohim, and they knew that it was he was set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them, and the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The Elohim of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, hath glorified his son, Yahshua, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of the Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom Elohim hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through the faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through the ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which Elohim before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets, that Yahshua should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted." Now in chapter 2 it says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Yahshua Messiah for the remission of sin." But here it says, "Repent, be converted now. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yahweh. And he shall send Yahshua Messiah, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things." So now he's going to keep his son with him until the restitution of all things, and he's going to send him down here to help his counterparts here, the house of David, to restore all things, which Elohim hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, "A prophet shall the Yahweh your Elohim raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he say, shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which Elohim made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And you first, Elohim, having raised up his son Yahshua, send him to bless you and to turn away every one of you from his iniquities." So what is the main purpose now that we have to have Yahshua with us today? That we have to have his blood. We have to be reconciled unto the Father. And we will read that there in Romans chapter 5. You've got to be reconciled unto the Father by the death of his Son. It says in Romans chapter 5, "Therefore being justified by the faith in the blood of Yahshua, we have peace with the Elohim through our Savior Yahshua Messiah, by whom also we have access by the faith in the blood of the into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Elohim." So while you're going through the grace period, you have faith in the blood of Yahshua by believing in present truth. And not only so, but we glory in the tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of the Elohim is shed abroad in our hearts by the Yahweh Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in the due time Yahshua died for the unrighteous. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man one would even dare to die. But Elohim commends his love toward us. Now Paul is talking about us as a Jew and a Gentile, and that while we were yet sinners, Yahshua died for us. So here, Yahshua died for the living back then. Paul was, he said he died for us while we were yet sinners. Much more than being and now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. He also died for all of those that had perfect records on the Old Testament that were already in their graves. He died for them, every one of those too. So he not only died for the dead that had lived up to the cross from Adam's time, but he also died for those that were yet sinners before the cross and after the cross. Well, actually, no, before the cross. So Yahshua died for them, those that were living, before the cross. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. For those that were sinners, that was preordained for salvation, Yahshua died for those also, as well as dying for those that had died up to the cross. And those that had sinned up to the cross, and after the cross had repented of their sins, Yahshua died for them while they were living as sinners. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled unto Elohim by the death of his son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Now we were reconciled by the death of his son because he died for us while we were yet sinners before the cross, and now we're reconciled to the Father by his son, and now we're saved by his life if we should sin again. That's what it says in John, 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things write unto you to sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with Yahshua Messiah, the righteous. So if you do sin, but he said, I admonish you not to sin, but if you do sin, we do have an advocate. That's through the new and living way in Romans 10:20. This brings us to the close of this study. In contact with the 11th hour call. We're going to close this service now with a song. Walking with the Yahshua, Brother Elijah Bailey. Yes, I'm the Yahshua, my Savior. I've been oh so satisfied. I've been walking in His love, He said. I lost my foolish pride. From the moment that it happened, didn't think that I could win. Now I'm walking in His love, He said. I've got a brand new friend. I started for the demons in a rough and rocky road. Different trials and tribulations, living troubles manifold. But I know my Savior, He is ever with me on. He is there when I need Him, and I'm never left alone. On the morning of Yahshua, it's the holy world you see. I'm walking with Yahshua. He is now a part of me. I'm the one with Yahshua. Throughout all eternity, I'm one with Yahshua. God is with me free. Since I started for the kingdom, in a rough and rocky road, there's been trials and tribulations, there's been my troubles manifold. But I know my Savior, He is ever looking on. He is there when I need Him, and I'm never left alone. I'm so happy now that I'm walking with my yard. My burdens are much lighter, and my trials are not so hard. My fear is all gone, there's not even a trace. I can now meet the world with the smile. smile upon my face. Cause I'm all the Yahshua. It's the whole new world we see. I walk with Yahshua. He is now a part of me. I'm walking with Yahshua. Do that all the time with me. I'm walking with Yahshua. Cause he's 53.